Welcome to Preaching Into the Mirror. I'm Sharmini Kumar. Each week I'm spending time with some of the stories of Jesus, according to the Gospel readings of the Revised Common Lectionary, if that means anything to you. And I'm preaching the sermon that I think I most need to hear. You can't tell, but I look myself in the eye while I'm preaching via a mirror. This week I'm preaching to my home church congregation, so it's a slightly longer sermon than usual. But there is a mirror on the pulpit for me to look into occasionally, because this is a message for me as much as for anyone else. Today's passage is Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 to 42.
Just wondering if someone can finish this quote for me. People who need people are the luckiest people in the world. Barbara Streisand sang it, so it must be true. People who need people are the luckiest people in the world. Do we actually believe that, though? I suspect that most of us actually think that people who don't need people are the luckiest people in the world. Because if you don't need people, then there's no chance that they can let you down. If you don't need people, then there's no chance, really, that they can hurt you. So I think most of us would actually prefer not to need people at all. But for some reason, God has set up the church so that we need each other. In fact, God has set up the world so that we need each other. Because if you think back to the Garden of Eden, the very first thing that God said was not good was for the man to be alone. And some of the things that Jesus says makes it really clear that following him is meant to be a group activity. Jesus says that when two or three are gathered in his name, he answers prayer and he's there. So the plan was always to have a community living out the ways of this new kingdom. A community, a body, people needing people. But if I'm being honest, I think that most of the time, if I have to live in a community, I would rather be needed than need other people. This might just be me. But I feel like if I'm needed, then that means that I am important. It means that I'm strong. It means that I'm self-sufficient, and it means I have something to contribute. But if I need people, then I sometimes feel like that makes me weak or unimportant or lacking in some way. If I need people, it feels like they're the ones who have the strength, who have the power, who have the importance, not me. And I want to be strong and powerful and important. I want people to have to come to me with their needs and for me to decide whether I'm going to give it or not give it. I don't want to be the person that has to ask. I don't want to be the dependent person. I don't want to be the needy one. So for me, it's really interesting to look at this, at today's passage, just three verses, but to see there what Jesus is saying about need. Because in verse 40, Jesus doesn't say, anytime you welcome someone, it's actually me welcoming them through you. That's not what Jesus says. Because if we think about welcome as meeting people's needs, which in Jesus' time it was, because welcoming wasn't just come in for a cup of tea and a biscuit. Welcome was a thing that people depended on if they were travelling. There were no supermarkets, no hotels. They were dependent on hospitality. So in that situation, we might expect Jesus to say something like this. Anytime you meet someone else's needs, anytime you are generous to someone else, that is you acting on my behalf and through you, I am reaching out to them. And in one sense, that would actually be true. And there are other parts of the Bible that would support that. But that's not actually what Jesus is saying here in today's passage. Instead, what Jesus is saying is that anytime you meet someone else's needs, you're meeting Jesus' needs. He brings it right back down to basics. Even a cup of cold water offered to somebody who needs it is offered to Jesus. And so what that means is that Jesus is identifying himself not with the person who gives out the water, but with the person who needs the water. And of course, we do know that everything we have comes from God, that God is the author of life and salvation and water and wine and all the good things in life. We know that's true. We know that God is strong and we can see God in strong things. But sometimes I feel like Jesus can only use me when I'm strong, not when I'm weak. Sometimes I feel like I can only see God at work in me when I'm strong and not when I'm weak. But here, Jesus is teaching us that God in Jesus made God's self weak and that we can find God in weakness. And it's both of those things together, isn't it? If you look at the very first verse of chapter 10, Jesus is sending out the disciples and he's sending them out with power. He's giving them authority to drive out evil spirits and heal every disease and sickness. And he gives them this description of the mission and he comes right back at the end to say, you're strong and you've got this power, but you're going to be weak and you're going to need to depend on other people. And for some reason, in this relationship of giver and receiver, at the very end of this discussion of sending the disciples out, Jesus chooses to identify with the receiver. Here in this passage, in today's passage, we're actually most like Jesus when we depend on other people. Here in this passage, Jesus is in us when we rely on other people's hospitality. And I find that very uncomfortable. I think it's really obvious to most of us that Jesus wants us to help other people, right? I think it's really obvious to most of us, I think most of us know that Jesus wants us to serve other people. But I don't think it's as obvious that sometimes Jesus wants us to be in a position where other people help us. But that's literally what he's just telling his disciples to do. That is literally part of their mission. They're to go out and proclaim that the kingdom of God is near, and they're to depend on the hospitality of other people, and it's all part of the same mission that Jesus is sending them out to. So if we are part of the same mission that Jesus is calling his disciples to, how do we open ourselves up to needing other people? How do we live out this aspect of what Jesus is saying it means to be a disciple? Well, I think the first thing is actually to remember our dependence on God. It might be a little bit easier to allow ourselves to be dependent on other people if we can start by remembering how dependent we are on God. So I'd like to try a little activity, if you don't mind. Just sit quietly. You can close your eyes if you'd like to. And just think about your breathing. Breathing in, breathing out. In and out. You probably don't spend a lot of time thinking about your breathing. Something you do, you don't need to think about it. Something you do literally in your sleep. Something you can do while you're doing something else, hopefully. But as you breathe in and out, just imagine that God is in that air that you can't see, but it's essential to everything that happens inside your body. It's essential for life. So as you breathe in, just take a deep breath and trust God to sustain you. And then as you breathe out, just relax and let go of that tension. Breathe in, trust God to sustain you. Breathe out and relax. Breathe in, know that God's mercy sustains you. Breathe out and relax. Breathe in and know that God's mercy sustains you. Breathe out and just relax. And as you're sitting there, I'd just like you to think of something that you need. It might only be something small. Something that you need, something you could really use. Do you need a hug? Do you need a meal this week? Do you need someone to talk to, or do you need a kind word? Do you need a lift somewhere? Do you need a brand new BMW? Can't help you with that. Sorry. But think about what you need. Think about what you need right now. You might have lots of needs, that's okay. But as you're sitting there, just try and focus on one of those needs. And as you're thinking about that, breathing in and remembering the God who sustains you, breathing out and letting go of the tension, as you think of what you need, I just want you to think of who you could ask to fill that need. Might be somebody in this room. You might need to send a message, though, or make a phone call. But I want you to think of who that might be. And then we're going to put this into practice. We're going to ask. This is the scary bit. Because when you remember, they might not be able to say yes. That's okay. But we're practicing asking. We're practicing needing. And remembering when someone meets your needs, that that is you being blessed by God through that person. And they are serving God through you. So Stephen's just going to play some music. And I want you to feel free to, you can take your phone out if you need to send somebody a text message. You can get out a piece of paper and write a note. If you want to make a phone call, nobody will eavesdrop. You won't eavesdrop. If there's somebody you need to ask for something, now's a really good time. Just to take that opportunity to ask. To let your need be the need of Jesus. Just give you a couple of minutes. Please stand. In a minute we're going to sing Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. And it really is kind of a song about asking to be allowed to serve, but I want you to think of it as being also the opposite, being able to receive all the gifts that it talks about in this singing. Let's just pray. Lord God, whose Son Jesus became human for us, and became a servant for us, and became needy for us, and was crucified for us. God, thank you that you are in strength and in weakness. Help us to see you in weakness, whether that's someone else's weakness or our own weakness. And thank you for meeting our needs. through each other, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.